back to the Challenge Total Madness Wrap-Up Podcast for episode 5. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Asher. Allie, how are you?
Doing all right. Can't really complain, you know. Here we are. How are you?
That just about sums it up. Here we are. Deja vu all over again. I am changing the position where I'm podcasting, so now that's fun. This time, I am staring at a white wall to make me feel even more in a tomb of my own thoughts than I normally do. So that's fun.
Do you just want to feel like you're in the bunker, or why are you facing a white wall?
I'm mixing it up. This is the way you spice things up in quarantine, right? You change the wall you look at when you podcast.
I just change from like white wine to red wine, but looking at the wall is fine too. Whatever works.
I'll do it though.
This is an interesting episode, and I don't know, I feel like it's more of like vignettes. Like, I've categorized what I hope will be a great discussion today, Brian, into more like storylines as opposed to beat by beat, right? Because I feel like there are a couple major storylines here that,
Are we discussing the stories of this season? Is this turning into a Wiggle Room version of the podcast?
Yeah, I wrote a freaking song. No, it's not turning into a Wiggle Room. But I just feel like, you know, it's like the Kayla and Bear beat. And then there's, you know, the J of it all. So I don't know. We'll shake it up a little bit. You're facing a wall. We'll maybe talk about things in broader categories if that works for you.
Sure. We could spice things up. This is a whole, we're really mixing episode 5. It's almost May. Let's get crazy.
You know what's funny is, like, I feel like the last 2 times we podcasted, we started with more pre-show talk than ever in the history of our podcasting together. Today, we maybe said the fewest words we've ever said.
Yeah. I think it was just, hello, ready, let's go. We lasted as long as Jay did in the elimination.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know for sure. Yeah. We don't know.
It was nice to get back to the roots of ending an episode teasing if someone's dead or not. We haven't had that in a while, so that was kind of fun.
You know what's like sad to me is like when we get to the night out in this episode, I was like, oh, it is so refreshing. I can sink my teeth into, as much as I complain about the hour and a half. Like, my life is fine because I'm watching it the next day. So that's like the compromise I've made, is I'm skipping commercials. It's a solid hour. Feel good about that. But I was like, oh, I'm so loving that this season is a return to like, it's reliable. It's like you have some banter, you have the challenge, you have a fight, you have nominations, you have a night out, you have an elimination, someone goes home, restart. And of course, the one time I let myself enjoy that, boom, to be continued.
Yep. Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, do you think now where the cycle is going to be messed up? Or I think next week should reset it. I hope so. Otherwise, we're going down whatever the season was where like the eliminations were like the middle of the episode every time. I don't think we're going on that path, though.
If we're in a normal world, I watched this episode. I understand the to be continued. I think it's a good move. I mean, listen, we're all coming back regardless. So we have nothing better to do, MTV. But they didn't know that at the time. So I'm fine with it. Like, this is a fine time to leave off. I mean, question whether it's cool to, like, like you said, speculate. I'm like, is he dead? Find out next week. I think we know he's not dead. So it's sort of like, okay, this was a high-intensity elimination situation to be continued. And presumably he's getting medevaced, and it will wrap up very quickly at the top of the next episode. But I wouldn't put anything past MTV at this point. You know, like if this ends up being, you know, a to be continued cycle, I'd be surprised, but we've been fooled before.
Have we ever seen, I guess we want to do your like little twist, but have we ever seen like a Ouija board in the show before? Because I feel like that's something that the Challenge people would have a lot of fun with. But I don't remember ever seeing them do something like that before.
Well, this is what's funny, right? Is like, I feel like, you know, and Ari the One, they definitely never had pen and paper. I feel like the rules are a little more lax on the challenge, but it is funny to see them fully do a craft. Like, and apparently Swaggy and Bailey were none too pleased with the Ouija board calling on the spirits.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know how much I would want to delve into that, especially if Bear. I feel like Bear would do something that would like scar me for life. So I kind of support not wanting to be involved in that.
I mean, this is not a Ouija board. This is like they scrawled on a piece of paper and they're using like a juice bottle. This is not like
sure. That almost makes it worse. So they're like tempting the gods of the Ouija board that tempt the gods. So now you're like, you're really doubling down and like it could be chaotic.
The only temptation that was going on in this episode was between Kayla and Bear. How do you like that?
Yeah.
How do Very you nice. Like that transition, Brian?
It was great. Although now we have to talk about Kayla and Bear both cheating on their significant others that apparently Bear has to hook up with each other.
Yeah. I mean, that's the real headline, right? It's not that they hooked up. It's Bear has a girlfriend
that he just has decided not to talk to. I guess that's like if you don't, it's like avoiding the breakup. Like when George did, if you avoid the breakup, you're never technically broken up. So he's just avoiding talking to her. So he just can call. He can call her whatever he wants. He can say we're a girlfriend or he can say not because he's living in his own fun state.
Yeah. Fun is an interesting word. I mean, this show tries me, Brian. You know, it tries me because I'm watching the show. And if I'm watching the show in my tiny ass apartment by myself, I'm like, good show. You know, I let it wash over me.
Good show.
But because we have to podcast about it, right? You start thinking about the issues and it's like, oh, do we have a responsibility to talk about it? I'd rather not. I'm tired, you know, whatever. But the last few episodes, it's like, okay, Kayla's saying no. Bear is relentless. This episode really goes over the top because Bear's confessionals are just absolutely horrendous, right? And like, it's fun. Yeah. It's funny. Bear's a great TV character, but he's talking about another human being. And like, we have a responsibility to talk about that. At the same time, you know, Kayla has said she had issues with her relationship and doesn't seem to regret her. Like, it's complicated. So I was trying to think about how I felt about this whole thing. And as far as I got is I'm coming to the table with, I don't know. I just don't know. It's complicated. Like, Kayla doesn't know. I sympathize with her on the show where she's like, Jenna's talking to her and she's like, no, I'm loyal in my relationship. I don't like Bear. Then she does like Bear and she does like the attention, but then she tells Bear clearly she's, so I don't know, Brian. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the worst part of it all, the worst moment of it all was the Bear confessional when he was like mocking Kayla's, I guess now ex-boyfriend, where I think when they all take shots at each other, some things they may go over the line, whatever, some may say yes, some may say no, but at least they're doing it to each other. When you start taking shots at people that aren't in the world, like I know Kayla's boyfriend probably would love to be in this world, but right now he's not, so he's still just like a civilian. Like that's where he loses me. Like you could do whatever you want to each other when you're in the game, in this world, but when you bring in an outside person, that's where I was like, oh, this is making me think of like these people as people, and I don't want to do that.
Like Devin's dad, would you say Devin's dad was an outside person? No, I know what you're saying, and I agree with you totally. I think it was, and that's also what's icky about the whole thing, right? Is like, it's one thing, you know, we've watched other people cheat on their relationships. Like, that's not, you know, shaking us, right. I don't think. No.
No, definitely not.
Well, we wouldn't participate in that. It's not shaking it's me in my car.
It's not earth shattering on an MTV show.
But it's like, the way, and I think this goes into what you're saying, like the way Bear's talking about it, it's a game to him, right? It's like he's the forbidden fruit. And it's funny to watch. Like there is a part of it that's very funny to watch because it's Bear. And Kayla is saying it's funny to watch, you know, like they're mm-hmm. bored in the house bored. And you know, but like Bear's giving us these confessionals that are like, completely, if it's about a gaze in my bear trap, stage five, whatever, and mocking Mikey, and it's like the whole thing is like extra gross because you know from Bear's perspective, it's not at all that he's interested in her in a serious way, and it's going to have serious consequences on her life that she is responsible for at the end of the day, and she seems fine with those choices, but like, it's like you're doing too much, Bear, you're doing too much.
Yeah, just be like the like when he's like chasing her around like a puppy dog, and even some of like the bear trap stuff. I know it's kind of gross, but like that's still, I don't know, that it's when like you bring in the outside, like that's like, yeah, that was gross. And that was like first season Bear where it was like, get this guy, like he should not be in this world. He's like too evil. He's too dark. But like go back to being goofy. Like that's a good spot for you, Bear. Be goofy.
And it's sad. And even Kayla is like, I can't believe this is working on me because we've all been in that situation. It's like the classic lines where she's like, have you talked to your girlfriend? And he's like, no, because there's someone here I like more than my girlfriend. And like, that shouldn't feel good. You know yourself that that's like, he's a bad dude and he would do the same thing to you and you're not special. But like, she's getting attention. She's bored and it feels good. Like, she wasn't happy in a relationship. Like, the whole thing just is gross and I'm sad for everyone, especially me. Yeah, make no, it more about myself.
Yeah. Now I'm curious how much further this goes. Like, however long they're in the house, are they now becoming a thing? Was this now just a one-time thing? I think it's going to go further, but like, how much further and how long? So I guess that'll be a fun thing to track.
Someone, let's get Kyle Picard on it. Somebody asked, like, did the previews ruin it? And I do think to a certain extent, showing, you know, you got to show some hot hookups, but like showing like the biggest scandal of hookups. I mean, who knows what's left to happen, right? But I think like showing the J and D hookup, no big deal. That adds tension for the season. You're excited, whatever. Showing that Kayla and Bear are going to hook up and then fight about how Bear treats her, I think, is too much. Like, I didn't want to be spoiled that the will they, won't they, gross as it was going to be a will.
Yeah, I guess it's a question of should they tease out stuff that maybe not a large part of the audience knows, but if, like, if you follow the challenge world, like, you would know that, like, Kayla would have broken up with her boyfriend, and you could at least speculate or put together the pieces why. So it's like, you want to steer towards that side of the audience or steer like completely away from them and keep them in the dark. I guess they must take it a case-by-case basis, because not like this isn't news that Kayla breaks up with like the boyfriend. Like, everyone knows that going into the season, so it's just a question of who they want to tailor their trailers to.
That's very fair. Maybe I'm just like feeling my feels that it's like, you know, it's gonna end, maybe you don't know it's gonna end badly, you know, they have one fight, so you've convinced me, who cares.
I wasn't even trying to convince you, I was just, you know, the alternative.
But one thing I do really like here is like Jenna like says some shit to Kayla that might like rock other people. Like, when this conversation happened between Jenna and Kayla, and Jenna says to her like, I just want to let you know, like, I know you value your relationship and I don't want someone to twist your actions like you're feeding into it and it look bad on you. Between lesser friends, we've seen this blow the F up. I was half expecting Kayla to like come for Jenna and be like, how are you blaming me? I've been clear. I didn't want this. Like, I'm not feeding into it. How dare you? And be a big fight. I actually really liked that this was like, shout out to strong female friendship of Jenna, of Kayla receiving this. Like, Jenna's looking out for me and I take this and I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, 100%. I kind of thought the same thing, that sometimes the messenger is the one that gets shot. And I think it goes to show that this isn't like a challenge friendship. Like, they actually are friends. Like, I feel like a lot of those situations are newly formed friendships, or like, oh, this is my best friend ever, when they met a week ago. So like, the fact that they have at least I think a few years of friendship, of getting close, like, that probably adds to the fact that Kayla can hear this from Jenna and not just like Melissa, if she like became best friends with her this season or something.
Well, that would be a twist, but yeah. Anything more to, the aforementioned Kyle Picard says, speaking of Mikey P, does Mikey P, who was Kayla's ex-boyfriend, does his chances of getting a call for the challenge go up after this?
I mean, they definitely don't go down. So I guess if they were zero, I guess now it's what, 0.001? So sure, they went up exponentially.
Is this why people like swing? I feel like we need to do podcasting with other people. Come back. I was going to say the same thing. I was going to be like, well, they went from zero, so apparently they went up. So
yeah, I mean, before this, he was not at all on the radar. So yeah, so this could be the best thing that ever happened to him.
Maybe we need to introduce a bear of podcasting, and go a separate ways for a little while, come back to each other, because we're just saying the same stuff now.
I'll try to like get into the minds of someone who will be against you. That's my goal for the rest of this podcast.
Disagree plenty, I'm sure people are saying, what are you talking about? But yeah, no, I agree. I mean, do you want Mikey P on the show?
No, not really. I can't. We have Swaggy C. We don't need another like shortened name with an initial. We're good. We're good in that ballpark.
Anything to say about Zach and Jenna here? I mean, this was like, I think, the first like actually sweet conversation we've heard them have.
Yeah, I mean, it's this is, I guess, going back to like the stance of the show. Like, we know they're about to fight. So I almost thought this was the fight. So it was almost like, all right, so what's going to happen in this conversation that's going to spark the fight upcoming? So I was kind of like waiting for something to happen. But it did seem like a relatively normal conversation between them.
Yeah, I love that Zach's like, him saying it took 3 days for me to miss you was like sort of sweet from him. I'm like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I mean, I like, we haven't really seen a lot from Jenna. I think for someone who's new to the season, like, this is Jenna. Like, Jenna is earnest. Jenna is sweet. Jenna's in love with Zach. And like, that's Jenna.
Yeah. I liked how she described the relationship. Like, we've been together for 5 years off and on. The last two definitely on. So we're in a strong on.
They're strong on. I think that it's like a red hair. I think it's, you know, Much Ado About Nothing with the Zach and Jenna fight.
I would think so, unless she does leave. I don't know. Guess we'll see next week. But
I don't buy it.
Not that the show would even lose a lot. It wouldn't really. I guess, do we want Kayla to be like calmed down? I guess that's what Jenna adds. Although I did think like Jenna had a couple of funny confessionals this week that kind of brought me back to why I fell in love with her in the beginning.
I like Jenna. But if you want to leave to be with your fiance, leave. Like, fine. No, I'm not going to sweat it. I think she's fine. I'm happy to see her, but go. Mm-hmm. Like most people in the world. All right, let's talk about Rogan. I mean, whew, Chile. We get this is kind of out of order. After I touted how much I was going to be in order, we get Rogan's first whiffs. Like TJ, I can smell it in the air. Sniff, sniff. Mm-hmm. His first whiffs of like already again, like, I have to go in. It has to be against Jay. He knocked out my pops, whatever bullshit. So Joshua Bader says, how much of Rogan wanting to go in was about the kiss versus about going against the smallest person in a physical challenge because he knows he can't beat anyone else? That's it.
I think it's definitely... I'm torn. I want to say it's definitely more like for like the storyline of the kiss thing, but I do think he probably sees Jay as an easier opponent, but I also think Rogan could beat other people. So I don't think it's as like one thing clearly.
Emily Anderson says, has anyone ever tried to manufacture a fake storyline in Rivals more than Rogan? I'll take this because I don't agree. I mean, my theory gives Rogan probably more credit than is deserved. So I feel like that's point on the Brian side of the viewpoint, but like, again, I have said, like, D can't be totally crazy. Like, Rogan has to be doing something during the year to make her come and be like, I'm in love with Rogan, even though he gives confessionals saying he doesn't care about her at all. I just don't see him caring at all about a kiss at a bar that was, like, very clearly to get back at him, especially when he was, like, in hot pursuit in front of her and, like, being mad at her for cock blocking the weeks before. I also think when he adds the fake storyline of, oh, and he took CT out, so Justice or CT, like, the man was thrown in and CT elected to come in against him and got beat. Like, what are you talking about, Rogan? Like, that somehow increases this fake rivalry. I think last week I felt this way. This week I feel it even more that this is like Rogan, like, he doesn't like to say, I mean, he did say it a little bit, like, I'd like to beat you, I like think I could beat him and this, but like, I just think it puffs his chest, it makes him look like he's the hero, he's doing like some martyr shit for the people he cares about, but really it's like, of course he wants to go against Jay, and he knows Jay can't be around for that much longer, someone's gonna take him out, so he wants to get a skull and get out, and then he even says going into the elimination, like, if I throw Jay around hard enough, maybe I'll never have to go in against anybody else. Fair, but I just think, like, he's not convincing me. Like, he comes to the confessional like, I have to do this for Dean, I have to do this for CT. I'm like, dude, just admit that it's like you're being strategic. Like, at least Tori says, like, I want to go in early so that I can get my skull and get out.
Yeah. And I think there's still some of Rogan that's living off the high of how well things went last season and thinking, like, now I'm like bulletproof. Like, I figured this game out. I know how to do it. Now I'm going to create storylines to build my brand even higher. Like, this is now I'm going to go maybe into another final. Like, the fact that things went so well for him last season has to be playing a role into some of his decision making here.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It's like not a good look to be like, I'm gonna try to go in against the weakest, quote unquote, weakest person. Like, even when he says, like, I only want to go in if it's physical, you know, well, it's like, if it was a real vendetta, then take him out. You'd want to take him out regardless. Like, we've seen people with real vendettas, Jordan, like, go hard regardless. I don't think that's smart play. Like, I agree with Rogan later when he's like, I'm not going to be stupid about it, but...
Yeah.
Like, you're being calculated, so admit that and don't just be like you're like some like knight on a horse.
Totally. Totally. But it, I mean, it also makes sense for him to want to go after Jay with the whole kiss thing, even if it didn't bother him at all. Like, maybe in like in the real world, it definitely wouldn't bother him. But maybe being in here, maybe some of the guys like are teasing him, throwing shots at him, like, oh, Jay's stealing your girl, Jay's stealing your girl. Eventually that might like wear you down. Like, you know what, screw it, I'm gonna get Jay. We haven't really seen them teasing him, but like, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that they're obviously just not showing, so that there could be some element to that as well.
Hard to argue with totally fabricated storylines, bro. I like the creativity. There you go. I can't argue with it.
Picture in my head.
Let's talk about the literal turf war that occurs between Wes and Jordan. And speaking of things that were not shown, we do have some tweets about what actually sparked this fire between Wes and Jordan.
Ooh.
Because were you confused? Like, I was very confused watching this. Like, it's not unlike Jordan to, like, put his nose where it doesn't belong and correct people and make obnoxious comments. But Wes was, I think, reacting, like, pretty severely compared to what we saw actually happen on the show.
So normally, yes, I would be more confused. Like, obviously, there has to be more to it. But the fact that it was Jordan and Wes, that I feel like they would fight over, like, a chip paint on the wall if one of them, they thought one of them did it. Especially Jordan, who, even going back to his real world days, was like, super agitated when people were messy or they messed things up or they spilled something. So this is very much Jordan's MO. And then I'm sure Jordan and Wes both know how to get under each other's skin. So I would have believed it if this was the full story. But I guess if there's more, then that even adds more to it.
That's actually a good point. I mean, I wasn't surprised when Wes walked over. I was more surprised when he was giving him sort of like the dad scolding of like, you don't have to respect anyone else, but you're going to respect me. And like, he just seemed so stern, like where it wasn't like riling up for fun. And then later he goes to a confessional and he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to like drag their relationship a little bit to work to my advantage. Like in this moment to me, it seemed a little too like genuine anger than like, I'm like doing this to like because I'm bored.
Plus, also, even if let's say there was mild anger, and then once you argue with Jordan, like he's going to get under your skin even more, that you're actually not going to get even more mad just because the way Jordan argues and like is condescending and stuff like that, that's just going to get you even more riled up. But same thing for Jordan going against Wes. So once you get him going a little bit, the tensions are all going to rise from there.
So you're saying that if someone waves a good salami in your face, it's not going to be a joy to you, it's going to be upsetting?
Yeah, I don't see how that's going to diffuse any type of fighting. Unless they're telling me they're going to go cook it and then they have a nice dinner, then sure. But other than that.
What did you think of Wes bringing Tori into it and saying, you're not going to talk to me the way you talk to your wife?
Yeah, that's tough because I don't, like, Tori saying, like, Tori being like, I don't, like, how dare you bring our relationship into this, like, you're very much a challenge couple. You got engaged on the show. Like, your relationship is very much into this. It is a little far, I guess, to bring up like their own dynamic, but I don't feel it's that off bounds. I mean, especially, I mean, if Tori was like going back to the bear thing, like a regular person, like that would be definitely too far. But her being in the show and also could then jump in, and if she wants to defend herself or defend the relationship, she's right there to do it. So I wouldn't have said it, but I don't think it's the most preposterous thing for Wes to say.
I do love that if we start making that our new standard, like, well, I wouldn't have said it. So then the whole show is off the table. No, I mean, it was weird. It just was weird because, like, to me, literally the only person Jordan speaks to with any respect is Tori. So, like, maybe if they, like, did have problems, like, to me, they're, like, highly functional on the show, especially as compared to, like, several other challenge couples we've seen in the game. Mm-hmm. Not this season, like, nothing on Swaggy and Bailey, but just generally. Yep. And, like, yep. I don't know that I can think of a time. Don't at me because I don't care. But like for the most part, like Jordan and Tori are a very like high functioning, respectful couple. So like it to me, it didn't land. So it wasn't that low because I don't think they have like that kind of issue.
I couldn't think of anything also. So,
but all right. So here's the story. as Wes tells it. He says, and thank you to Megan Elizabeth for shooting us these tweets. He said, I walked towards Jordan and he threw a glass of orange juice in my face, but they missed it. That's what he was cleaning up when I left. Because we did get that weird shot of him like wiping up the table. So kind of checks out. Wes says, I guess I forgot to mention that he tried to throw a glass of OJ in my face, but I was too fast for him and punched it out of his hand. So I guess like Wes, and that sort of fills some gaps. Like Wes comes over and then Jordan tries to throw orange juice at him. And then he talks to him like he's a 2-year-old.
Yep. That checks out.
Speaking of 2-year-olds, not that Ashley Bedazzle is a 2-year-old, but what I'm going to say is about 2-year-old. What was Jordan wearing in confessional?
Yeah, some of his looks have been super weird. I mean, going from the haircut on down, like the whole season, it's been a weird look for Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I sympathize with men who have haircuts that require them to do 2 minutes of styling in the morning and just can't get it done for being on national television filming confessionals, resulting in a bowl cut. But I have to say, Jonathan Foreman is on the record as saying this is not a bad haircut, which begs the question of what Jonathan Foreman is rocking on his head right now.
So are we leaning towards Jonathan Foreman to be the hair correspondent of the podcast?
No, saying that Jordan's haircut is not bad is fundamentally disqualifying for that position.
Yikes. Sorry, Jordan. Sorry, Jonathan. I tried.
I mean, do you think that this is a good haircut, Brian?
No, I mean, not really, but it is the Peaky Blinders style that is apparently very much in vogue. So it's got that going for it.
Brian, let's play a game called How Much? How much cash would it take to pay you to wear your hair like that for a year?
A year? That's a long time.
I understand. And no quarantine applies.
Yeah, there would have to be a comma, and I would say I could probably do it for like 10.
You can't explain. Yeah,
give me 10 grand.
Oh, yeah, okay, then that's a bad haircut. It costs you $10,000 to wear your hair like that. That's a bad haircut.
A long time. A year is a long time.
I understand, but $10,000 is a lot of money.
I know, that's the price of the time.
You currently pay money to wear your hair the way that it was pre-quarantine, so... to put that in perspective. I want to talk a little bit about Wes and Dee. Like, well, I'm not Dee's biggest fan. Well, I'm not Dee's biggest fan. I do like the relationship between Wes and Dee, because I do kind of feel like, especially this season, they're treating each other as equals. Like, Wes kind of comes to her and treats her opinion with respect, and they bounce ideas off of each other. And, you know, granted, he doesn't listen to her, but I think it ultimately ended up mattering a bit. And I like this relationship. Like, we don't often see, like, a man and a woman together strategizing as equals.
Yeah. It's one of those relationships that they actually could keep more hidden if, like, they wanted to, because a lot of, like, the fact that they were paired together on a season, people probably forgot about it at this point. So much has happened. So, like, they might have even forgotten the connection that they would be paired, because you see a lot of other pairs aren't even that close and stuff. So it is the type of friendship and alliance that could be a little secret that people wouldn't, like, be, oh, like, you know, these people are obviously together. Like, it is, they have that going for them as well.
See, I think that would be ideal. And definitely Dee has Rogan as her more, like, apparent number one, which definitely takes the heat off of them. But, like, you know, we had Wes as, like, the only person helping Dee, and I think, like, Bananas had said, like, oh, Dee's Wes is number one. Like, I do think, like, maybe the more astute players do know about their relationship, but they're definitely not in the spotlight as Dee and Rogan, as much in the spotlight as Dee and Rogan are.
Yeah,
and it's definitely like a real friendship, because Wes was on the Ringer podcast this week. I don't know if you saw that or if anyone else did, but he mentioned that Dee came out to visit him a few weeks ago, and now when Australia shut down their borders, apparently Dee's like stuck in the United States, so then we're just kind of living together, like them and BMI as well. So it's like the third time all kind of kicking it in Kansas City right now.
Wait, does Wes live with Nehemiah? I thought Wes was married.
He lives around the block.
Like, Nehemiah moved down there to work for Jordan's West's like monster truck company, so he lives like around the corner.
That's delightful.
It is delightful.
I love that.
It was a good interview. It's worth checking out.
I am so bad. I support all challenge podcasts, and obviously the Ringers podcast. Like, they don't need my support, but I like couldn't, if I listen to like 1 minute of like Matt LaGorie saying something about the challenge, I like will only, I will have no more original thoughts.
Right.
So it's not that I, you know, give the downloads. That's all anyone cares about.
There you go.
Less delightful. Let's talk about the challenge.
Yes. Bomb Squad. A lot of, maybe they just, same challenge every week, but I thought they called somebody Bomb Squad already. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. But like every challenge ends in an explosion. That's just what the theme is this season. I guess it could have just been the challenge explosion. That would have been the theme. But so you have to ride in a car that is up on two wheels, peeking your head out to read out a formula on a walkie-talkie to your teammate who's going to solve it. Share the code to another teammate who's going to run and collect little tubes, I guess. I don't know. And then they're going to pass the tubes and put them into a bomb decoder and watch it explode.
What'd you think of the challenge?
It was good. I mean, I like that it wasn't as strenuous. Sometimes you don't need them like basically dying after each challenge, especially after last week. So I'm in favor of that. The stuff on the two wheels did look kind of cool each time. That didn't get boring. The rest of it, luckily, was super short, so it didn't like take too much time. Some of it was very funny. Like, I thought someone was going to walk into the explosion. Like, I think Corey almost like walked into the bomb, which would have been very funny. Also very sad. But it was good. It was fine.
Equally funny and sad, right, to watch Corey blow up.
Right.
I would like to keep the positive energy up, Ryan. I really would. I have a candle lit. Kumbaya. I'm feeling good. As good as you can be. But I have to say, I feel like the challenges have been so form over substance recently, and I'm tired of it. Like, I agree, the car thing was really cool, and that segment on its own, like, definitely was hard enough in the extent that, like, to the extent that people screwed it up. So it was cool, and it was challenging enough, but not impossible. Fine, that leg can stay. But almost every other leg didn't matter at all. Like, the math equation, fine. And then when you break down the other roles, it was like the decode the puzzle was look at a wall that told you a color matched a number and grab that color. Like, that was not decoding the puzzle. And it was like running a little. I agree. I don't need to see people like gassed out. I mean, I think that's like a lot of the stuff we used to see like high up on the water and like walk to the edge or like move through these things like where it's not like so physically demanding, but still looks difficult. Like, this didn't look hard for anyone, despite the fact that people still didn't do it right. And I think the math equation stuff is getting played out. Like, this is the first time I felt that way, but it's like, I don't, like, we can have these great puzzles. Like, you could have done this in a different way. It's like, I don't care if it's like, it's not funny anymore if they like can't do division in a pressure situation.
Right. Especially for the first couple where, especially for Jay, like, I felt bad for Jay. Like, I don't know if I would have necessarily known exactly when to look out like that. That is not as egregious as a mistake as some other people. Like, I really felt bad for him. Like, if you're the first one, you don't know when all of a sudden the number's going to pop up and they're like behind like the window and like the car and stuff. Like, that could have easily been whoever went first. I feel like could have made that mistake easily.
Well, that's Leah Knight says, since it was a timed elimination, I was surprised Jay wasn't able to do the ride again or even run it to find the numbers. Were you surprised they weren't able to try things again, even the math they couldn't do again?
Yeah, I thought it would be, you know, let's do it again. I thought they would get to, you know, run it back. Maybe because they didn't want to have the car go up on two wheels again. I don't know. But I don't know why they couldn't have just swung it around.
And that's to me what was like form over substance. Like, I don't care that it ends in an explosion anymore. Like, I the dropping the bomb from the helicopter, like, that was cool, but, like, that was definitely, like, a form thing. And, like, I want to have some things that look cool. Like, the challenge has always done that. Like, that's not new. But if it prevents, like, if this is a time, who can finish the fastest, why can't you do another lap? Or, like, they were saying, run back. Maybe there's a ladder on the, like, so, okay, if you miss it on the car, you have to run back and climb the ladder to, like, look at what it is and then run back and tell them or whatever. Like, like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Then this was all about, like, how cool it would be to watch people do this in the car one time and then have something explode. And that's not really what I want to see.
No, that's totally fair. They're definitely trying to make, like, the war madness theme a part of the challenges. Maybe, like you said, maybe a little bit too much.
I think the eliminations have all been great, but I think maybe one of the last five, this episode five, right?
Yeah.
One of the last five main challenges I actually liked or could understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's probably right.
But I'm glad you like this one. So that's good. Different strokes for different folks. Here for it.
Yeah.
I did enjoy Corey thinking that the explosion was going to be an after effect thing and not realizing that it was going to go off. I thought that was very funny.
That was wild. Didn't understand. Like that also begs the question. Like, we had this question 2 weeks ago. Like, what can they see? Could they see when to pop out of the car? I think no. It seemed like they could only really see close up to the bomb part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if Corey has presumably, maybe they went out of order. Because, like, how is it possible that Corey watched three other teams or whatever do this and misunderstood where to go?
Right. Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. Were you surprised, since the answer was the same, were you surprised there was no shenanigans of, like, this is the answer type thing? I know it obviously would hurt your team, but if you're going after someone or you wanted, like, your ally to be safe, like, I thought that might come up at all. It didn't seem like it was mentioned.
That was the other form over substance part to me, and people are going to be mad at me for saying that so many times. I'm mad at myself, okay? I don't care. But that same, like, at least make it interesting. Like, at that point, we knew everyone got it right when they got it right, because the equation didn't change, the colors didn't change. So I'm convinced now, between us, like, that they weren't able to see people, because that would make no sense.
Yeah, they probably didn't even realize that everyone had the same answer. They probably wouldn't think MTV was that stupid that the code would be the same, or at least they wouldn't switch up, like, the colors and stuff. I think everything, literally everything, was the same.
Yeah, I'm wondering if like, only the people who finished were at the end. I'd have to go back, but unless they just make it a rule, like, you have to solve the math equation maybe people aren't, you're not allowed to tell people, and then you have to solve it. So even if you know what the colors are at the end of the day, because that wasn't even a real part of the challenge, right. Like, that person has to, like, but I guess they can't prove, you know, it's not show your work. Never mind. I changed my whole thing. It was stupid and I hated it.
We'll get down to the hated part. Oh boy. Let's not keep talking about it. Otherwise, it's going to be the worst thing you've ever seen.
Also, what are they doing putting Rogan on the math? Like, we've seen Rogan prove to suck at math before. I don't know why he's, when there's two other stations that literally do nothing, I don't know why he's on the math.
Yeah. It did get us this look at Nelson running like he's Forrest Gump, which was very funny.
I mean, it was fun. Like, this challenger had fun moments. So Shout out to the cast for giving us some fun.
Jenna saying destinating a bomb. Very funny. Classic Jenna.
Josh with the funniest line of the night, calling someone else a rookie. Girl, bye.
Yeah.
You're still a rookie. I guess it's, like, technically his third season, but I don't care.
Right.
You act like a rookie.
Oh, man.
You walk like a rookie. You talk like a rookie. You're a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else from this?
I think it's just funny that after I made fun of Casey for not speaking, she, of course, wins the next two challenges and is very much a focal point of, like, decision-making and stuff like that. Maybe she's going to win every challenge now for the rest of the season.
Yeah, Alex Trio said, how does Brian feel that Casey got a confessional that didn't rehash what the challenge was?
For me, it is fun, because it's, like, an additional thing that I'm rooting for. Like, anytime she pops on the screen, it's like, oh, there she is, she's talking, and it's, like, something of, like, non-descriptive. It's fun.
Feels like a Mitch Watch moment.
A little bit.
I don't know that she's, like, very much in control of the decision-making, but...
No, at least she's involved.
She's there.
She's there. She's there. Pretty cool that three of, like, the four of the winning team was Big Brother, kind of like that.
Yeah, but okay, but let's. Well, I'm jumping in. It was cool, and I was gonna say, like, okay, Swaggy is in there, and, you know, he's really been making himself at home in the tribunal. Like, I think that's, shout out to Swaggy for that. Josh, okay, Casey there for a second time, and Jenny, who's new and has been making it. You know, she's strong. She already has her skull. She's there. So this was really wide open for sort of the underdog alliance to make a move. And they don't at all. I was, like, very frustrated by that, especially after having to bear, like, hearing Josh talk on and on about how he's so ready to make a move.
So, yeah, I thought that too. And I just don't know what the move is. Especially because Jay's not the person that goes in, and let's say it's, you know, Bear or Nelson or whoever that it could be, then I could see making a move. But, like, what type of move is there to do?
Right. I mean, you have to do more in the house. Like, I guess that's sort of on Jenny and Josh to decide And maybe they're not willing to extend themselves. But I think there was like a little bit of an opening with the way that Wes, and it depends on how serious we think this is, but it seemed pretty serious from the edit that Wes is trying to drum up Jordan going in. And then Jordan votes for himself. So, you know, how come you can't get your four votes for the tribunal? They vote, right? I'm like losing my mind.
No, they don't vote.
Okay, that makes sense. So that's hard when your whole alliance is the tribunal and you don't vote. But if Jordan is going to start asking to go in, then maybe you have enough people for that to happen.
I don't think Jordan was really...
I think that was like Jordan being like, oh, look at me. I'll go in. I'll vote for myself, knowing for a while he wasn't getting the votes. Like that was a kind of a look at me. I'm cool voting for myself moment for Jordan.
That's true. And it's a burn vote. But maybe it's at least you have a conversation, right? We didn't see, and this surprised me, like any conversation about the tribunal trying to stir something up, or Jay, kind of seemed like Jay on the fly was like, oh, well, if Bear's on the table, I'll vote for Bear. Like we didn't, and I'm sure those conversations happened. We just didn't see them. I'm also confused why the tribunal doesn't even consider who Jay would want or someone that might be a better opponent for Jay than Rogan. They seem to give Rogan what he wants. I don't understand that.
Yeah, that was the one part that confused me. Jay, you would think that it like seems to have a pretty good relationship with these people, that they never once, even just for a show, to be like, all right, well, who would you even want? And then just to put him in the mix as like a person that, like, even if you don't vote that person in, just to like appease him a little bit, if he ends up winning and coming back, you can say at least we did something. But like, yeah, that was odd that they didn't even ask who he wanted. I guess I don't know who you would even say. I don't know, but
that's what I was gonna ask you, like, who should Jay want?
Yeah, I mean, if he knew what this elimination was, I mean, Bear, maybe? Bear's really big, though. I don't know. There's no one...
Just the challenge Bear one.
Yeah, so there's no one really that small. Like, there's some people who are smarter than others, but all the guys are pretty big compared to him.
Yeah, I think maybe Nelson was more of the Jay pit. Like, you know, Jay's going to outsmart Nelson. Nelson's bigger than him, but not jamungus. So maybe that's the pick, Nelson. Maybe Kyle again. Like at that point, it's like if it's going to be something where height or size advantages you, then he's kind of like effed against the field. So maybe you want someone that you think you could outsmart reliably, who's also not huge.
Yeah, and that's why almost like Rogan isn't the worst thing, because then maybe Rogan's like too hyped up and too amped up and wanting to win too much that he could be off his game or something like that. So I don't know. If he knows like this is the type of elimination, Jay needs to try to get any type of luck or miracle thing that he can get. So
what do you think of Jay's argument that like you guys are burning your chances of going in?
Yeah, I don't necessarily even understand that, because like I understand, like, all right, so if you vote someone else in, like you're still getting the one skull. Like there's not like a set there's a set number of skulls. But if you get it from Jay, or you get it from Kyle, or you get it from, like, who cares? Like, I would want to go in against who I think I could beat. And then if Jay just keeps knocking people out, then all of a sudden you're at a final with like four people as opposed to like 14 people. So I think the argument is you always just vote in the person who has the skull.
I have to believe that, like last season where they speculated that it would become an individual game, that these people are speculating that there's going to be some purge or whatever that gives everybody the opportunity. Because we're just getting absolutely beat over the head with TJ threatening them. Like, guys, you don't know how many chances you're going to get. And, like, two fresh people should be in here vying for their chance. I agree with you, Brian, that it's like, no, the people who want their skull want to take it off someone they think they could take it off of. But, and one person has to go home. It's not like two people can go in and get a skull and come out. But
exactly,
I just think last season should show that people not knowing the full format of the game hurts the game, because these people have been around the block long enough where they're making decisions based on what they think is going to happen. And I just think people are, again, making decisions off what they think is going to happen. Like, I just wish they clearly knew, not you never know, like X, you have X weeks until my final. Like, I don't know. Maybe someone's going to be like, are you, or someone is going to be like, that's stupid. But I just feel like knowing and being able to calculate and know if everyone's going to have a chance at the end or know that they're not going to have a chance at the end would be better, would yield better gameplay than TJ just scolding them for doing things that actually advantage their game.
Yeah, I think absolutely. If they knew that there would be 10 chances or 8 chances, I think that would be an excellent shift to this game. Or even if in the middle of the game, and TJ's like, you gotta do it. They should just do a purge in the middle, and like the people with skulls are safe that week, and everyone else, you're in a purge. If you lose, you're out. And if you win, you still don't have a skull, but you can keep going. Like, to do something for like to have the skull and encourage that stuff and stuff, I think would be great.
I just don't know why we're like so focused on like secret format. Like, I don't think the secret format has helped at all. Last season, it certainly ruined the season.
It's never good.
It's never good. I don't understand. When does it ever work that you keep the format a surprise that it's like fun?
I am not here. Nope. All right. So they go out. I feel like nothing really happened here. This is where I literally have in my notes, God, I love this reliable format, heart emoticon. Mm-hmm. Rip that up into shreds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, not much at the club. I like that they went to a different place. I feel like, again, like I say something and they're like hearing me and they're changing it. This time they went to a different club. I liked everyone walking like, ooh, this place is nice. This place is nice.
They could have literally been in my apartment and I would not have noticed that that was a different location.
Yeah, new bar.
These are the things I notice.
This is my little niche that I focus on. Where they go.
I just think people also get paid the longer they stay there too, right? I mean, that's at least what happens on Survivor. I imagine it's similar. More weeks you're out there. So it's like you're literally not incentivized to go home, especially if you're not someone who thinks you can win a final against the rest of the house. Like, so I just don't understand why, rather than tell them the rules up front, which would be more likely to send themselves in, they're focusing on having TJ do voiceover scolding and in-person scolding. But maybe it'll work at some point. I mean, maybe the truth is that if they revealed the rules, it would disincentivize them to go in because the rules would be that there's a purge, so you're all going to get a chance. I don't know.
Right. Or there's 20 eliminations.
Yeah. Who knows? All right. I like this episode, despite how tired I feel by talking about it. I'm not tired. I'm saying I did like this episode on the whole. I thought it was fun to watch.
Yeah. It's kind of like we discussed this last week about we want them to do a misdirect at the elimination. But this one was like very clear what was going to be. Were you OK with that?
Yeah, I was. I didn't even give that thought. So I think just on the fly, I was OK with it. I didn't like, especially because it was so clear, I didn't like that they put Rogan in. I don't understand why they're basically giving Rogan a free pass. I mean, I know there's a chance Jay could win. He's quick. You got to be quick and, you know, smart. I think smarter than Rogan. So, but why give Rogan, the winner of last season, a free pass to the final against the person he wants to go against in a headbanger challenge? I really don't understand that. Like, there's four of you. He can't be mad at all four of you and Jay and make you primary targets.
No, I completely agree. I think that's the part that's been most confusing, is why people are so willing to let them to convince the tribunal to do what they want to benefit them. Like, we saw with Tori last week, like, oh yeah, as long as it's not a puzzle, I definitely want in. But if it's a puzzle, no, don't put me in here, Rogan. As if it's physical, put me in. Like, why is it, like, I don't understand. Maybe because it's like I feel like the first few weeks it's been a lot of like the rookies and stuff in the tribunal, and maybe if we have the tribunal with, you know, Bananas and like Anissa and stuff like that, they wouldn't be as amenable to this. But like, I don't know why they're all going along with it.
I mean, I think it's frustrating because MTV pumps them these seasons full of rookies with really strong potential. And they shouldn't be afraid of the established power dynamics because they can back it up physically. And yet, we see two seasons now where people are not making strategic decisions and are bowing down to like the powers that be and not wanting to make waves. And, oh, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Okay, I'll punch your ticket to the final for free. And then maybe you'll look like favorably on me down the road. Like, I don't understand at all. I feel like people are playing scared. People are like, I love the challenge, but this is the side effect of the format of everyone coming back all the time, is people care a ton about the longevity of the relationships and them being invited back. And I think we're seeing a lot of people not playing to win in a way that's frustrating. And I'm not saying they have to throw themselves in, but at least put in someone like, I don't even know who would be better. Like, maybe, I mean, I guess it's like, what advantage do you have to throwing in Wes and having him come back? But I what should have happened here? Like, what do we think should have happened here?
I feel like that they, what should have happened is the tribunal should have been more aggressive with cutting deals to benefit them. I feel like all the deals were, this, if this is a good spot for me to go in, put me in. And there was no like, all right, if I don't think we even heard anyone on the tribunal beat a Rogan like, all right, if we put you in here and you win the next one, like, if we want to go in or we don't want to go in, like, we want you to do to help us. Like, I don't think we even saw anything as simple as that.
See, you're much higher on those deals than I am. Like, I don't think those deals mean shit in the challenge. Like,
they probably don't, but at least do it. Like, you got to try something. Like, otherwise, you got to try to, at least then you could call him out for lying. And, like, Rogan's probably big on, like, his credibility. Like, you got to try to do something.
Oh, Rogan's big on his credibility.
Well, like, his voting, not his women credibility, his voting credibility. To try to do something to, like, benefit. Otherwise, what are you doing?
I think what they need to be doing is changing who the House is voting in, having some say in, like, trying to rally. Like, I almost think the tribunal should get votes in that. Because, it's like, by not giving them votes, it, like, cuts them off at the knees, and then all they can do is really respond to who goes in. So maybe it's not the tribunal's fault in this situation, because with Jay being offered up, it's like, I think, like, for a winning game, Josh should have thrown himself in here. For a longevity game, which I can't fault him for, based on the incentives at play, like, fine. I just think, like, for all the good the formatting of, you know, returners and pre-existing relationships does, we have some consequences, like the early game strategy of this game. But I just think they need to be doing more to try to curry favor with the vote before they're nominating people. I think those deals are, like, a waste of time and almost make you look bad. Like Big T, like, Kayla tweeted later that no one took Big T seriously when she was doing that, the girls, and thought it was, like, funny. So good that, like, they thought it was funny and fun and they like her. But I don't think anybody's going to actually uphold that deal. Like, I did you a favor, now you have to do me one. They will, just like Rogan. I'll seek vengeance for D and CT if it benefits me. But if Bananas hooked up with D, I don't think we'd be having the same situation.
Yeah. But going back to the voting quickly, I was very surprised to see every single girl, starting with D, who that also, like, I don't know what the explanation was there, all voted for Jay. That was, I thought, going like the last guy's vote, the girls were the ones trying to swing the vote away from Jay. And here, down the line, I think every single girl voted for Jay. That was very surprising. And they didn't really provide much context, especially with the D thing. Like, I thought D would have, I understand not wanting to root against Rogan or something like that, but to openly root, put in Jay in that spot was odd.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're learning is, like, that was a drunk, like, a dancer makeout at a bar that was, like, not a big deal. And Rogan, she, like, promised Rogan she wouldn't do it again. And then she makes this, again, crazy speech. Like, I hate D speeches more than anything, of, like, if Bear goes in, Rogan will be miserable, and therefore I'll be miserable. And it's like, you're already miserable. Yeah. And Rogan's the one making you miserable. It's not Rogan Bear. Like, so, yeah, I mean, I think it's stupid because that's, like, an ally. But I think at this point, maybe the women are like, we tried to save you last week, and now it's like, we can't fight this, and it's not worth our necks in the game for you.
Yeah, it was very funny, the scene with Jenna. And then Jenna's like, this is why I don't talk to people. So that's, like, very, very good showing from Jenna.
I thought she did a great job, too, being like, I haven't heard your name at all. Like, who cares if you lie to Jay? That's fine.
Right. Exactly.
All right, so Rogan goes in unanimously, and this was the first time I think I was really rooting for Jay, and I therefore knew it was going to go poorly.
Yeah, I figured it was very unlikely to see him win. I guess still TBD, but very unlikely that he's going to win. I guess the bigger question is, like, is it over, or do you think he gets up and competes, or is he just done?
I want to say it's not over because this is, like, the classic MTV edit of, like, did they die? No, they're good. But it's really hard to imagine that Jay comes back from, like, that level of a fall. I mean, maybe he just got the wind knocked out of him and in 10 minutes he'll be good to go. But it looked absolutely Brutes Magoots, to borrow from myself earlier in the season.
So I think I saw Rogan getting some heat for it. I didn't think, I mean, I guess when he pushed his head into the sand, that was a little wrong, but in terms of like him throwing him, like that was the challenge. Like, did you take any offense to Rogan hitting Jay super hard?
I agree with you that it's within the bounds of the challenge, and this is what Jay consented to and signed up for, is like to get headbanged. Like, you know, like this is the challenge. Do I think it shows that Rogan has no sportsmanship and is a jerk? Yeah, but we already knew that. You know, like, and it takes a little bit of the edge off that Rogan's strategy is like, I'm going to viciously beat Jay so badly that nobody, like, because me beating Jay delicately doesn't intimidate anyone. But me really throwing Jay around maybe intimidates someone bigger. Okay, that makes more sense. But if I could see why people are upset if you're taking it as just like gratuitous violence. But I'm not going to, like, you know, sign a change.org petition over it against Rogan.
Yeah, like, I don't know. If they were doing, like, a climbing challenge and he all of a sudden just ran over and, like, speared him, like, yeah, that would be a little much. But the fact that it was, like, a physical thing, like, this is what you do with this challenge, like, I don't know. I didn't think of it twice.
Well, I mean, it is what you do in the challenge, but it's also not what you do in the challenge, right? Like, it was... He, like, picked him up and slammed him to the ground. Like, you don't need to, like, tombstone someone in this challenge when you're already carrying him outside of the ring and the ball has already been dropped, and then to throw the ball at him. Like, he was a bad sport, but if his, like, okay. You know, like, I don't think it's even the most offensive thing Rogan has done this season.
Proud of that episode.
Yeah. what did you think of the twist? Edward Morris said, should there be more fireballs?
Yeah, that definitely didn't do much for me. I think it just added, like, I don't know, we almost had Nelson die of hypothermia last week. Now we need people burning to death. Like, I don't know, let's do the challenge. Let's tone it down.
FOS, baby. Form over substance. Like, again, I don't think it needed to be on fire. Like, if anything, it took away from it. Because you want people to really be able to get into it and get physical. And you don't need to see people in fire repellent gear. Yeah. And, like, the ball on fire, like, this challenge is cool enough. Like, you don't need the ball to explode afterwards to make it a good challenge. I don't understand. Maybe they just got an influx in the budget. Like, I just feel like it's, like, being wasted. Yeah. I don't get it.
Didn't need it. Definitely did not need it. Light up the arena. I like when they, like, put the fire around the arena. Like, that's kind of cool. It's, like, creates the atmosphere and stuff like that. You don't need the fire in the elimination.
Yeah, we're here for the alarm bell, and, like, we've come around a little bit on the bunker, yeah. Like, the purgatory staging. I love when they get these big drone establishing shots. I like when TJ rides in on a monster truck. Great. I don't need it to explode as part of the challenge if it's not going to actually harm the challenge or detract from it.
Not going to lie, I was a little disappointed that TJ wasn't the one driving the car when he entered.
Yeah, I was actually surprised TJ, like, agreed to do that. I noticed he came out not in a helmet, and I was like, maybe that was supposed to add, like, some of the edge that he, like, they did, like, a jump cut of him taking off what I assume was a helmet he was wearing, unless he was not wearing a helmet at all. But, like, that didn't add cool factor to me. Like, yeah. It was a little lame.
Yep.
Eva Pickett says, if Jay is injured to the point where he would have to be medically evacuated, does Rogan deserve the win or to be DQ'd and sent home?
He should get the amount of pain that Jay got, and then that is his punishment.
CT comes in from the back and straps him on and just, like, body checks him.
Exactly. He has to do the challenge without the fire protection.
Owen Knight said, and I saved the questions of, like, let's talk about whether Jay comes back, because we'll do it next episode. If that's the only elimination we have, we'll see. Who knows? Owen Knight says, why should a Survivor fan who only checked it out for Jay keep watching?
Because, I mean, the show is a lot better than Jay. So, if Jay was the only thing holding you down, you probably wouldn't have lasted in watching and enjoying the challenge much. So,
here's what I said to that. Ready for a no new fans take? If you have to even ask that after these first five episodes, we don't want you to watch.
There you go.
I hope Owen has a sense of humor. But I mean it. You know, like everything else I say, I truly mean it.
It is very, this is a quick side. It was very funny when they were, like, hyping up Jay, like, oh, he's won two eliminations. He took out CT. I keep waiting, like, the cut to Asaf being like, hey, what about me?
The likes of CT, he says too, which, like, puts like Asaf somehow on that level. Like, you know, it's like he beats the greats.
Beats the greats. CT and some other guy that we totally forgot about already.
That's all I have for this episode, but I do actually have the 5-star reviews, which I've been having technical difficulty of uncovering as of late, but I have them. We have a bunch.
Great.
So thank you to Fee_7, Megby LN2, Seajoy Play, Hippie Mama 26, and Johnny Bodine. We appreciate you. We see you. We love you. Thank you. If you want to leave us a review, we're trying to get to 600, baby. You could go to robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And also thank you to the people who tweeted us that while you are skipping podcasts, you're not skipping this one. Honestly, it really does mean a lot. Like,
it does.
Go ahead. Say more, Brian.
It does. That's what it means. It means a lot.
I mean, listen to everyone else's podcast too, but it means a lot. Cause sometimes, you know, Brian's looking at a white wall and just feels like, is anyone actually listening to this? It's fun to interact with you guys and hear that sometimes we're making quarantine a little less suckish, and we appreciate it.
Exactly.
You want to go drinking?
Yeah. Yeah, we got 19 for this week.
Good thing it's a stay at home situation.
Yeah. 7 of them for KC speaking. So that's a lot of them. 3 burn votes, 3 my finals, 5 bear in love. With a little spark, I guess. What was that again? Like, if it was you're in love, and like they were like they added stuff to it, like with the thought bubbles and stuff like that, right? That was that.
Oh, I thought it was just like when he says it. This was Nikolai's role, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then 1 mention of fiance. So
your wife. I did like that. I do round up to wife also when someone's engaged, like your wife, your husband.
I like that rounding up. That's funny. All right. Yeah, that's social media. Do you have one for this week?
I hope that's not social media.
I mean, that's
Kyle, take that public.
That's tricky.
I have one. It is inspired by the Pretty Fly for a White Guy troll we discussed earlier. I don't even think we named the song, so I knew it would come back. One of my favorites, reviving an old classic. Take a drink if you want. Every time there's a song, you know.
Ooh, that's good.
It's fun. Just keep it loose. Just like the challenge, you know. Wasn't too strenuous.
Anytime they go, I didn't really have a good one this week. I was hoping someone would pop up along the way. Nothing really has. Anytime they go to a new bar. If you recognize it, a new bar.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
You threw us for a loop. You were like, I don't have anything, and here's a great one.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, let's get to the tweeter. We talked a little bit about it already. Wes says, I'm going to use my stimulus check to buy Jordan a new haircut. Cool, topical, timely. Okay, here's the Ouija board tweets we were talking about that Brian agrees with. Swaggy C said, every time I saw them MFs doing the Ouija board, I left. I remember one time they were doing it in the room with Bailey sleeping. I literally came in the room, woke Bailey up. Oh, sorry. Woke Bailey up. My eyes are bad.
I can see Swaggy be like, I woke a Bailey.
I thought it said W-O-K-A, but I have bad eyesight. Woke Bailey up, carried her to my bed. I don't rock with that, man. LOL.
There you go.
You also don't rock with that. Bailey weighs in and said, I hated the ghost in Ouija board. It pissed me all the way off. Y'all know I had my Bible out at all times. Laugh cry emoji. TF. What's TF? The F?
I guess. Yeah. What? Huh?
I don't know. It's new to me. Let's have Jemmy weigh in. Jemmy said, I effing love Jay and want to see him on all the future seasons. I want to see you, Jemmy, on all future seasons. Let's make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Also, update, I went to Marie's Cameo and it's like temporarily suspended, so I hope she's doing okay, but I'm assuming it's not personal to me.
Okay, thank God. We were all very worried.
I mean, it kind of ruins it. I would prefer it to be about me, but whatever. I have no idea. Can you explain this? Swaggy C said, Rogan ain't have to use Jay's head to kick himself back up. Oh, like pick himself, like the head in the sand thing. Okay, that S was bad. SMH. Fair. in what is becoming my new favorite segment, I read Jay's Instagram. Unfortunately, it's not as long as last time, which it really truly killed me. But here's an image of Jay burning a newspaper, which, I mean, I support journalism, but he's burning a newspaper and his like face is in the fire. And he writes, "Every flame starts with a spark. This is only the beginning of my fire." Spark emoji. Very hashtag deep. Stay loco.
Very deep.
Okay. One, a little bit of a spoiler alert, I feel like, from Jay. Like, that was a little bit of a swan song, but we'll see. And also, I don't love the hashtag he's using, stay loco. Like, you're not a brand. Okay. That's it.
Yep.
This is pretty great. Johnny said, "First time Corey has ever had problems finding the whole laugh cry emoji." And Corey wrote, "Damn it, how'd you beat me to it?" SMH.
That's funny.
All right. This is pretty funny. Kyle tweeted, "Team pregnant, apart from me and Bailey," because DJ Mel Reeves was pregnant at this point, and Corey just had a baby, actually. Congratulations to Corey and Taylor. Baby Mila was born since we last recorded. Very cute.
Oh, very nice. Very cute.
We're all super happy for Ryder. And then, okay, Megan Elizabeth of DCM, our C-squared, C-cubed, I forget, I'm sorry, I'm the worst, says, "In what might be the worst slash most confusing tweet I've ever seen from D." Have you seen this?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. I'm in love with Rogan and always have been. We may be with child. We may not be. Smirky, swervy face emoji. All I can say is, just like Rogan, D tries and fails to manufacture storylines as well.
Yeah. Not great.
I have one more I want to pull that is so classic D. I'm going to D the follow because it's definitely worth it because she tweets hot nonsense. Like,
great move.
D's on a power trip. She tweets actual footage of me watching thirsty wannabe challenge cast members. Tag them, devil emoji. Like, girl. There's like a lot of drama. I guess someone said that Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm not reading that. That's terrible. Okay. Some people need to relax, not people on the show. Okay. So here's the one I came to get. Sorry. Inexplicable to me. Now that I know she's living with Wes, I feel like Wes is behind this and being like, yeah, say that, D. That'll be good. You know what you should say? Say that.
It'll add all new context to these tweets now.
The Challenge MTV tweeted a picture of Jay in the elimination with, it said, "Jay's third round in purgatory isn't going so smoothly," emoji. And D said, "I'm sorry, someone tag him. I think he has me blocked," slant face emoticon. That's how you know it's Wes, because that's some old school stuff.
Yeah.
And Jay wrote, "LMAO, blocked you? I don't block anyone. That's a waste of my time to care that much. LOL. Let the character go, D." Ooh! Ooh! Scathing.
Getting vicious.
As Molly Block texted me, "Let clap emoji, the clap emoji, character clap emoji, go clap emoji, D clap emoji. Let the character go, D." All right, someone cut me off.
All right. Anything else?
I've done enough.
Quick shout out, by the way. I don't know, have you been following the Best Reality TV thing this week on the
are we gonna talk about this? I didn't want to talk about it because it's like gonna get me in trouble with the audience.
I just want to give a shout out to our brethren Bananas and CT in the Elite Eight. You know, this is,
it's
that's
so
our world.
Wrong it it's is our a world. Crime it is a crime that they have advanced and this Bananas, I think I voted whoever he's against. I think he's against the situation right now. Just tough call. I did vote for Bananas. But the fact that CT, like, it's not who you like the most. It's the best reality character of all time. And I'm sorry. It's like incomprehensible to me that Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari Most of this audience has never even seen Kristen on a reality show, probably. Certainly not on Laguna Beach or The Hills. Very Cavallari is not an influential reality show. And it's disgusting. I have very strong opinions about this friggin' poll.
I definitely just hit a horns. That's, oh boy.
Well, I mean, do you disagree that Jay Cutler had no business in the, is he in the final eight?
No.
Or just, he got knocked out, but he advanced like out. Two rounds.
Yeah, he did. Situation knocked him out, I think. From Brady's court.
Insane. It's insane.
Yeah. I thought it was cool that MTV was representing four of the Elite Eight, and then Probst was someone else. After that, you know, seeing Snooki, Situation, CT, and Bananas in this, it was very nice. Rooting for them.
You're the problem then. I think Snooki actually should win this, and that's my hot take. I think Snooki of the final eight is the best reality TV character. Based on
I wouldn't disagree.
But let's talk about TJ's trajectory. Do you have who TJ advanced past?
I do. Let me see. I have to zoom in here to the bracket. TJ was, he beat Chip and Joanna and then lost to Simon Cowell. He was an 11th seed.
I don't remember. I probably voted for him over Chip and Joanna, but I know that people who watch like those kinds of shows were like outraged. I love TJ. Listen, don't come for me. I love TJ. I have 6 years of receipts recorded. You know this, Brian. Mm-hmm. I know that. We all know this. TJ is certainly not even close to the best reality TV character of all time. In fact, he's beloved for basically being like a terrible traditional reality TV host. Well, and that's why you love him.
But to be fair, he's in the host side of the bracket. He's not like going up against, you know, the Situation. He's going up against other hosts. So, I mean, it would make sense that he's in the bracket.
He shouldn't be in the bracket. I mean, I don't think he'd be in my bracket, but I understand why The Ringer has him in the bracket, and I'm not against that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't watch the show. It's like one of the few shows of people in this that I don't watch. I can't even opine on that. But he beat Simon Cowell on Twitter, at least when I was looking at it.
Yeah, he did.
And it's like, come on, bros who are voting for this. Like, I don't watch American Idol, and I certainly don't like Simon Cowell. But he invented the bitchy host, like, of judge genre of reality television. I can't. Yeah. Good for you for being positive, Brian. Cool.
But, so Baz is here in the Elite Eight. That's all I wanted to mention, but yeah, there you go.
I can't just drop that and think I'm not going to say anything.
I was trying to sneak it in there, but you can subscribe at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian _. You can follow you
at Last Tweets.
We'll be back next week for episode 6, and we'll give the results of the bracket. We'll see who wins.
Check out The Ringer. This is not our thing. We're competing with them, but I meant to plug something else. I was on Renap Family Feud. It was a shit show. Check that out. And that's it.
There you go. Next week, episode 6. Until then, have a good one.